Thank you, Brother Steve. Beautiful song. Actually, the words written by Miss Bev Lowry. That's Mark Lowry's mother. Many of you know Mark Lowry from the Gaither videos, the Gaither vocal band, the comedian, guy that loves to make fun of Bill Gaither and all that. But Mark Lowry's mother wrote that song, and she went to heaven just a couple years ago. So appreciate that. I thirst. Some of you probably sitting there saying, I'm hungry. I know, it's on a day where we have a big dinner planned after the service. Some of you make the mistake of getting in a hurry and fixing your dish and getting everything done and getting over here. And I've heard 10 people say this morning, I forgot to eat breakfast. I didn't eat breakfast. Well, I did. So, you know, I'm not hungry. I won't keep you too long. Bubba's got it all ready, and Glenn and Sherry have done a great job getting things ready for us today, so we're looking forward to it. So I want you to take your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke this morning. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. And for our text this morning, and I know it's going to be a busy week for all many people. You got things on your mind. You got things you got your list, and you got to go. Some of you are going to be traveling, and I hope you have a safe trip and enjoy your trip wherever you're going and so forth. But just before we get into all the busyness of the next few days, and they say that Friday begins the official start of the holiday shopping season. I think they started before Halloween this year. Walked in several stores in the middle of October. And in fact, one store, I did see it in September. I will take it back. I did see a store in September. Walked in, and there was one of those big things in the middle where you walk, and it's motion activated, and you walk by, and it starts going, whoa, you know, singing and doing all this kind of stuff. You know, sometimes you just want to punch those things. You just really do. You just want, it's September. It's too early for that. But anyway, there's a lot going on in the next few weeks. But before we get into that, let us take care of the most important thing to this morning. Let's seek the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's put him first in our lives. And let's read a story that will help us do that. Luke chapter 17, if you'll stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God, beginning in verse 11. Again, say thank you to those who are visiting with us this morning. We are so grateful that you're here. We pray God will bless you this morning for being with us, and we consider it an honor and a privilege that you're worshiping with us today. Luke 17, beginning in verse 11, and it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise. Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the blessings of this day. We thank you for the blessings of this season. With so much excitement and anticipation, and yes, Lord, with so many things on our mind, Lord, I pray that in these next few moments, that we would put the priority in our lives and our hearts where it needs to be, and that is focusing on you, to allow you to do a work in our lives. We all have things to do. We all have busyness, and there are concerns and prayer requests, and there are things upon our hearts, and yes, there are some this morning that just feels absolutely overwhelmed with life. Lord, I pray that in these few moments that you'll help us, that before we get into all the things that will take place in these next few weeks, in these next few days, that God, you'll speak to our hearts in the stillness and the quietness of the Holy Spirit. would do a real work in our lives. I pray if there's one here that does not know you as personal Savior, today would be the greatest day of their life. They'll come and accept you in salvation. I pray for every Christian this morning. Lord, we'll examine our lives and see what we need to do to be right with you. And this I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Sometimes just the very mention of the word Thanksgiving brings up memories of family get-togethers and meals, football games and parades, days out of school, all the kinds of things that are perfectly fine with this time of year. But we notice in our text this morning that there's an encounter that the Lord Jesus has near the end of his life that gives us, I believe, a way of putting Thanksgiving into our lives in such a way that it gives us wholeness and purpose. And it makes Thanksgiving more than just a day out of school and Thanksgiving break and a few days of shopping and preparing meals and family coming over and or you going somewhere else. But it gives us a way to put it all in perspective. Now, the world is going to get you convinced that if you're not somewhere Black Friday morning by 4 a.m., then you're going to miss out on Christmas, you know. And I guarantee you this, December 25th is going to come whether you're at the mall at 4 a.m. or not. I promise you that. And so just enjoy your sleep, okay? And that saving that extra $10 on that is not worth fighting the traffic, okay? It's just not worth it. But if that's what you love to do, bless your heart. Help yourself. But you know, I think that if we find here in this passage of Scripture a way that will help us in these next few days and weeks to put everything in the right place, in the right perspective. In this story, we find Jesus, as he says here, as he's passing through, he's going to Jerusalem. Since chapter 9 of the Gospel of Luke, we find Jesus making his way to Jerusalem. He is on his way to the cross. He is on his way to fulfill the plan of God for our salvation. And on his way, he goes through a certain village. And he has an encounter with 10 men that I believe is very important. I want you to understand, just as Jesus was passing by that village that day in Luke 17, I believe for some of you, Jesus is passing by your life today. Jesus has given you an opportunity to put things in the right place. He's given you an opportunity today to come to him in faith and salvation and obedience. And you must take advantage. You must not miss this opportunity of Jesus passing by. I want you to notice the first thing this morning we find in this story that will help us. Notice number one, we see a group of men that called on the Lord. As Jesus is passing by, the story tells us that there are 10 lepers who were standing afar off. And maybe they heard the stories, maybe they'd heard the rumors, maybe all of the things about Jesus' reputation had gone to the fact that they knew that somehow or other, maybe this Jesus could be the person that could help them. Notice that they stood afar off. They had to. They had a terrible contagious disease for which there was no cure. They could not get close to people. In fact, Mosaic law isolated them from all social contact. They cannot come within 6 feet of contact to another person. They were forbidden to even come within 50 yards if the wind was blowing, just for fear that someone would catch their disease. And so they had to stand afar off. And notice as they stood afar off, they cried to the Lord and they called out upon him. They called out to the Lord for help. They said, have mercy on us. They referred to him as Jesus, but also as Master. They recognized that there was something different about this guy. Now listen, you've tried all the self-help tapes and videos. You've had all the courses and you've got on all the Facebook groups online and social media groups that have tried to help you through whatever it is you think you're going through, but you have never turned it all over to the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, this is the day for you. It is time for you to take all of your burdens, all of your anxieties, all of the diseases that have plagued your life, and you've tried to do it on your own. You've tried to work it through your own reasoning. You've tried to figure out in every way possible, but you've never called upon the Lord to help you with your greatest need this morning. Let me ask you something. You've tried it all the different ways. You've tried all the advice from all the people. And many times you feel like these lepers. You feel like you're just so far away from God. You're so far away from everybody else. Nothing else seems to work. You feel like your life gets worse and worse instead of better and better. And the hole that you're in seems to get deeper. The mountain in front of you seems to get higher. And you've done everything except doing the one thing that will change your life. And that is call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is your only hope this morning. Jesus is your only help this morning. The world will give you the idea that if you buy this and get this on sale, if you get the newest model, if you finance it for this long and you do all of these things, that you will find the happiness that you want, but you have tried it all and you're still miserable. You're still hopeless. You're still in need this morning. You see, these lepers didn't have a choice. They had a terrible disease that separated them from all of society. In fact, they were the ones who were those who were simply abandoned by the culture. And they did all that they knew to do as they found out that Jesus was passing by. Whatever your problem is this morning, Jesus is greater than any problem you have. Whatever your need is this morning, God can meet that need. And by the way, He already knows what you need today. You don't have to inform Him. He already knows. I am convinced that Jesus made His way through this village because He knew there were 10 guys over here who needed something, and they were willing to cry out to the Lord for it, and Jesus made it possible for them to have that opportunity. You have that opportunity today. Jesus is the greatest answer. Jesus is the greatest need-solving problem person that you can have today in your life if you'll just simply trust Him. You say, preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. No, I don't. But He does. And He's got it all taken care of. He's got everything that you need if you'll just cry out unto Him and call upon Him. See, that's our problem. We try to figure it out ourselves. We live in the past. We live with our guilt. We keep beating ourselves up over things that we've done wrong in the past and the ways we've failed. We keep saying that we'll never can get past this and we can never get beyond this. And we do it and we're looking at ourselves instead of looking at God, the creator of this universe, who spoke it all into existence in 6 little days and said it was good and got it all under control. And yet for a moment you think you know more than God. You think you can figure it out more than He does, and that's your problem. All you got to do is come to Him. Come to the one that can take care of it for you. These guys knew this was their opportunity. They called on the Lord and said, have mercy on us. And that brings us to number 2. Jesus hears their cry. Oh, I just want to say today, let me just stop right there. Jesus hears you today. He knows exactly what you need. He hears your cry. He hears your broken heart. He knows exactly what it is you stand in need of. And He is there for you. And notice that even though they stood afar off in verse 14, it says that Jesus saw them. Hallelujah. I'm glad Jesus sees me today. I don't have to say, hey, I'm over here. Did you forget about me, Lord? And sometimes we feel that way, don't we? We feel like everybody else gets answers to their prayers and we're sitting here still waiting on an answer. And we feel like Jesus has forgotten us. Can I tell you, He's never forgotten you. He knows exactly where you are this morning. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows exactly what you need today. All you got to do is trust Him. They called upon the Lord, and Jesus told them something to do. Notice what He said. He says, and this is very interesting, go show yourself to the priest. Now, the law of Moses in Leviticus required that lepers, once they had maybe somehow, if they were cleansed from the leprosy, that they had to go to the priest for the priest to declare that they were cleansed and free of the disease from their leprosy. And so that law said that they had to show themselves to the priest after they had experienced physical healing. But wait a minute. Jesus is telling 10 lepers who still have leprosy, go show yourself to the priest. Now, it took faith for these men to step out in obedience, to follow the word of God, and make their way to the priest while they still had leprosy. Now, understand, they still have disease. And the Lord Moses says, after you're healed, go show yourself to the priest. Jesus said, I want you to go right now. I want you to go show yourself to the priest. They knew
They knew we're supposed to be healed of leprosy. But if Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest, y'all better move out of the way. I'm healed to the priest. Y'all better step back. I'm on my way. So it says that in verse 14, that is, it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Now, what does that mean? That means they obeyed the Lord without question, without discussion, without having some long interlude of having this argument back and forth of whether it was the right thing to do. They just immediately obeyed God. That was the key. When God said move, they moved. When God said get going, they got going. And when they did, as they were going, they were still lepers. When they got up from where they were, when they were in the place where they were, they said, well, let's go to the priest. And as they went to the priest, all of a sudden, can you see what I mean? What do you mean? We're cleansed. When we talk about such a terrible disease, there was no cure. It was so contagious that the very wind could cause you to catch that terrible disease of leprosy. To a point that if you had that, you were ostracized from the community. You could not be around. You could not have a job. You could not provide for your family. You couldn't be with your family. You couldn't hold your kids. You couldn't touch anybody. You couldn't drink out of the well water where everybody else drank. It was just total separation. Their lives were at the bottom. And many of you today feel like your lives are at the bottom. You've done everything you know to do except obey God. You've done everything you know to do. You've worked it out on your own. You've tried to figure it out. But you've done everything except trust God by faith and step out in obedience to do what He's already told you you need to be doing in your life. Amen. And the problem is, people sit around and say, well, I don't know about this and about this. But you already got things going on in your life. You're living in disobedience to God. You're disobeying His word in areas of your life. How do you expect God to do something over here when you already are not obeying Him over here? You already know what you're supposed to do, so get doing what you know you're supposed to do, and then God can show you what the next thing God wants to do in your life. Amen, brother. When there are things that you know you're supposed to be doing, then do it. But don't sit around and try to get God to do something else when you're not even obeying already what you know you're supposed to. But these men, they said, they didn't have some discussion. They didn't get on Facebook and say, what do y'all think we ought to do? They didn't tweet out everybody and said, listen, could you tell us what you think about this? Do you think this is a good idea? No. They just got busy and they just went to it. They just got going. They headed toward the priest. And by faith, God began to change their life. You see, the only way to test the value of the Word of God is to obey the Word of God. These men, they'd heard about Jesus. They'd heard the stories. Now they're seeing Him face to face, and they're seeing Him for the first time in their life. And they said, well, we've tried everything else. There's no cure. Right? There's no sense in sitting around here debating it. If He said to do it, let's do it. It's like that great song by B.B. McKinney that he wrote back in 1934. Have faith in God when your pathway is lonely. He sees and knows all the ways that you have tried. Never alone are the least of His children. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. You know, that's where you need to step out this morning. You need to quit trusting yourself. You need to quit trusting your abilities. You need to quit trusting your education. You need to quit trusting your bank account. You need to quit trusting all of your friends. And you need to step out and just do what God has for you to do in your life today. Because God will bless you. And it says in verse 15, at the end of verse 14, that they were cleansed. Jesus did something for them that no doctor could do. And by the way, when the doctors come to you and tell you that they can't do anything, that's okay. They don't have the last word. Amen. They're not the great physician. Amen. They don't have it all. They don't know it all. When they say this is all we can do, you say, okay, thanks for doing what you can do. I'm just going to trust God for what He can do. And let Him take care of it. And God may choose just to take care of it. He may choose to let you go down that road. But whatever it is, it's going to be the will of God. Just trust Him by faith and let Him get the glory for it.
Amen.
Notice number three and last. We see that they called on the Lord. They obeyed the Lord. But notice what happens in the story. This is the main point of the story. Only one thanked the Lord. Only one thanked the Lord. Notice in verse 15 that one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Don't you think he was pretty excited? He was excited more than all you guys put together at the ball game yesterday. I mean, here he was at the lowest part of society, couldn't even hold his children or his family or his wife, couldn't have a job, couldn't even have Thanksgiving dinner or church social, couldn't have be around any other people. Now he was totally cleansed. He was healed of this terrible, dreadful disease. And you know what? He didn't care who liked it. He didn't care who heard it. He just wanted to make sure with a loud voice that he glorified God. Man, I tell you what, I feel sorry for some folks who just don't know how to praise the Lord.
Amen.
Man, I tell you what's the truth. Man, you just got to understand, when God does something for you, you can't hold it in.
Amen.
It'll hurt you, I promise you. It really will. You got to let it out. Yes, and he came back, and notice this, in verse 16, he falls down on his face at his feet. First verses, they were standing afar off. Where do we find them now? At the very feet of Jesus. Look where God can bring you this morning if you just trust him. If you just obey him in your life, he'll take you from being afar off. He'll bring you to the feet of the throne of the Son of God. Oh, that's just wonderful. That's a great place to be. He comes and he gives him thanks. Oh, if the story stopped right there. I mean, if we just stop the story right there, we just think, man, what praise the Lord, what glory to God, amen. You know, and all the other guys, and here's this guy giving him thanks, but wait a minute, hang on. What's that last phrase say? He was a Samaritan. And that's where the rest of the crowd sit around and go, uh-oh. You see, Samaritans were not Jews. They also weren't Gentiles. They were half Jews and half Gentiles. And Jews hated them and Gentiles hated them. Because they were not all of one race. They were a result of the intermarrying of Jews and Gentiles. And so Jews hated them, Gentiles hated them, so they had their own little area where they had kind of lived in between, and they were Samaritans. Jews hated them so bad that if they saw a Samaritan walking down the street on the same side, they would cross the street, go all the way across, go that side, then come back over just to avoid walking near a Samaritan. That's how bad they hated. You're not talking about prejudice. Talk about bias. Man, that was to the nth degree. They hated him. They couldn't stand it. But notice that Jesus was really good in many times of his ministry about putting a Samaritan in the right place at the right time. Remember the story of the good Samaritan? Remember the woman at the well? Remember all of these others that were Samaritans that nobody would have anything to do with? But what did Jesus do? He said, come on, I got you. You come to me and I'll take care of it. It's all good. And so, this one guy, yeah, I'm sure he wanted to run to his family. I'm sure he wanted to get back to his job. He wanted to get back to his house. He wanted to see all of his friends. But wait a minute. He knew there was something more important he had to do first. And here's where we learn from this Samaritan this morning. There's a lot of things going on in your life I know you need to do. There's a lot of things that's on your list, priorities that you have to get done. But can I tell you something this morning? There's nothing more important than getting to the feet of Jesus and giving him thanks this morning. Amen. For what he has done for you in your life. See, when you call on him and obey him, you can't help but thank him. Now, the question is, sort of a rhetorical question, Jesus asked this question, were there not 10 cleansed? One of the saddest questions all about, where are the 9? Where's everybody else? Where did everybody go? It's like a pastor on Wednesday night Bible study, looking at attendance. Where did everybody go? Why ain't everybody here?
Amen, bro.
I just wonder why they don't show up. I can't figure out why people don't go to church on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. I mean, you know, did you get enough? It really, was it that good on Sunday morning? I just don't think so. I just don't think so. I think we need more than that. But Jesus looked at us and says, where's everybody else? Where are the 9? Why are you not here? They allowed the things in their life to take priority over their thankfulness for the Lord. Oh, they were excited. They enjoyed. They were glad, I'm sure, that they were healed. But they did not do what they needed to do first, and that is go back to God and put him first. Jesus, this one who now falls down, looks at the one who's down at his feet,
this one who is a Samaritan. And he makes a startling statement. Notice what he said in verse 18. He says, there are not found that return to give God, to give glory to God, save this stranger. Stranger. You know, stranger, that word literally means someone of another race. It's therefore referring to the fact that this person is not a Jew. The fact is that this word in this verse for stranger does not occur anywhere else in the New Testament. It's the only time it's ever used in the New Testament to describe this one man who came back. This is what is so significant about this story. He was completely different than everybody else. All the other guys had their lives and had their homes and had their things that were occupying their minds. But the one person who was more spiritually minded than the other Jewish nine guys who were healed was a guy who was a stranger of another race, who was not only ostracized because he was a leper, he was ostracized because of his race, because of his skin color, because of his culture. And yet it is this guy who has more spiritual insight than all the other nine put together. The other nine should have known better. In fact, if they'd studied the law of Moses, they required the sacrifices of thanksgiving, the sacrifices of praise that should be offered from time to time as required by the Mosaic law. They didn't even give any thought to that. But the one man who everybody thought was the pagan of the group, who was the worst of the crowd because of his culture and because of his race, he's the only one who had enough spiritual insight to come back to the Lord Jesus and say thank you and give him praise and give him glory. I wonder sometimes if by our own testimony we hinder more people coming to the gospel than anything else. We claim to be Christians, but we don't live like it. We don't talk like it. We don't project ourselves to our friends and our neighbors and our co-workers and our family as one who follows the Lord Jesus Christ in all the ways that we should. But yet, we talk big talk on Sundays. But when it gets hard on Mondays, we fall apart. And when Friday rolls around and it's been a rough week, we don't even give the Lord a second thought as to what he might be trying to do in our life. And no wonder we have a hard time reaching people with the gospel. No wonder we have a hard time trying to share our faith with others. Maybe it's because, as we're studying on Wednesday night in the book of James, maybe we haven't learned to make our faith work. And that's the key. This stranger, this foreigner, this outcast of society becomes the main focus of the whole story. Because he's the one that came back and said, God, I'm going to put you first in my life. I've never done it before. I've tried it all the other ways. And everybody around me tells me that I can't do it because of who I am and what I've got and where I come from. But I'm going to tell you something. God, you're number one in my life. And I bow down at your feet this morning and I give you praise. And I thank you for what you've done for me. Maybe we need to get back to the feet of Jesus and give him thanks this morning. You say, well, I don't have this, but look at what you do have. Look at where you live. Look at where you are this morning. Look at what's waiting for you in the next building, in the next, wherever, how long it is before we get there. We'll be there in a minute, I promise. Or two. But think about all the things that God has given us.
Amen.
And you look around and say, well, I don't have that, and I don't have that, and I don't have that. Can I tell you something? God may not want you to have that. God, no, man, I want you to have that. God wants you to have where you are. He wants to do something in your life right where you are. You say, well, I want more. Listen, there's more waiting for you on the other side than you could ever dream. So just don't get attached to it all down here too quickly. It's all temporary at best. Just be thankful, as Paul said, to be content in whatever state I am. State of South Carolina, state of North Carolina, state of Tennessee. Whatever state you find you in this morning, whatever your place in life, God's got a plan for you. And that brings me to the last, and this is the conclusion this morning. Would you notice in the last part in verse 19? This stranger, this foreigner, comes back to God. And God, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, looks at him And he does something more for him than he ever imagined. He looks at him and he says, "Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." Now, wait a minute. I thought he was already healed of his leprosy. Yes, he was healed of his leprosy. He was cleansed of his physical ailment in verse 14. But he didn't get made whole until verse 19. You say, what's the difference? It's the heart that got made whole. You see, this stranger, this foreigner, this one from another race, this one of outcast of culture and society, not just because of the disease, but because of his life, he came back to Jesus, gave him thanks, gave him praise. What he had done? Jesus looked at him and says, "Listen, I've cleansed you from your leprosy, but now I'm going to do something even greater for you. I'm going to save your precious soul." And he forgave him of his sins. And from that point on, he was on his way to heaven. The only one who came back and gave thanks was also the one who got spiritual healing as well as physical healing. Man, that'll make you shout.
Good stuff,
boy, I tell you what, I'd like to have been at his house when he got home. I'd like to have been down on the main street and the side street and gone down the corner around the place where he lived. I'd love to have seen this fellow when he walked in the house and said, "Honey, I'm home." And she looks at him and says, "Wow, you look different." He says, "Honey, you don't know the half of it. I know I look good on the outside, but let me tell you what Jesus did for me on the inside. Not only did I get cleansed of this terrible disease and I can hug you and the kids again, but now I've got Jesus in my life and I'm going to heaven. Let me tell you how you can go with me." Oh, I bet he was one of the greatest soul winners of that community because of what Jesus had done in his life. And it all goes back that he was willing to give God thanks. When we have a thankful heart, it changes everything about who we are and what we do. When we live a selfish, self-centered, materialistic life, you'll find that you're never happy. You're never satisfied. You can never get enough. By the time you get that latest model and that updated version, but before you even get home and learn how to use it, there's already a new one out. And by the time you pay for that one thing that you're driving around that you just had to have, by the time you do that and the warranty's out, there's already something else going down the road that you're looking at and you think, man. And so you're never satisfied. But when you come to the feet of Jesus and just give him thanks for all that he's done and already done in your life, listen, everything else, as the old preacher said, it's icing on the cake. And it's chocolate icing, by the way. Amen? It's chocolate icing. Praise God. Amen. See, when you get to good preaching like that, you can't get any better than that. Amen? When you get banana pudding involved, you got it all done. But it all begins with a heart of giving God thanks. Some of you this morning are facing difficulties and uncertainty. You're facing some things. You're going through some stuff in your life, and you've tried everything in the world. And you've tried every way, and you're still not happy. You're still not content. You still don't have peace. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. He'll give you everything you ever wanted and then more than you ever bargained for if you just trust him. Would you bow with me in prayer? Every head bowed, every eye closed. This morning, before we go into the fellowship hall and enjoy some good physical food that's been prepared for us, let's make sure our spiritual hearts are where they need to be today. There may be someone here this morning who says, "Pastor, I've never trusted Jesus as my Savior. If I die today, I am not very sure that I'd ever go to heaven. But I want to know. I want to trust him." This invitation's for you today. You just come and we'll have one of our deacons take you and show you how from the Word of God you can know Jesus as your Savior. How you can be saved today. Maybe you're here and you say, "I am a Christian. I know I'm saved. I'm a member of a church here or somewhere else. But I just don't have peace. And I don't know why. Everything about what I'm struggling with is all about me instead of about God. I just need to put God first. I just need to thank him for what I have. Trust him with the rest. And whatever God has for me, I'm going to give him praise for it. I'm going to thank him for it.
If he chooses to do more, I'll accept it. If he chooses to leave me where I am, or this is what it is, I'm going to praise him anyway. Only then will you find true peace and true joy in your life. Whatever your need is this morning, I invite you to take and come to this old-fashioned altar. Do business with God. If you want somebody to pray with you, our deacons, myself, will be here to do that. Maybe you just want to do business right where you are and say, God, right now, this moment, this day, I give it all to you. My life is in your hands. I trust you with it. I'll obey you. I'll follow you. And I'll give you praise and I'll give you thanks for whatever it is you choose to do in my life. And I'll give God the glory for it. Father, whatever we need to do to be right with you today on this Sunday before Thanksgiving, let this be the most thankful Sunday we've ever had. And this I pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said. And would you stand, please? We're going to sing this great chorus as I end.